Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. Do you like to collect anything? When we were younger, my sister had a rock collection and was always gathering new rocks whenever we went outside. My best friend collected anything that had to do with Harry Potter. Action figures, scarves, wands, and I collected snow globes from around the country. It's fun to collect things because you're always looking for something new, while also appreciating the many treasures you already have in your collection. Today, we're going to talk to someone who has a couple of different collections, but they're not items that he keeps in his house. He collects encounters with the natural world.
I think most naturalists like to see things they've not seen before. I always get a buzz out of seeing new things. And as I've seen a lot of things, be it in Britain or America or South America or in the tropics, it's getting harder and harder to see new things.
This is Mike Dilger. He's an ecologist, television presenter, and wildlife expert. He spends a lot of time out in nature, filming television programs and writing books about his adventures. His enthusiasm and love for the natural world are contagious, as is his love for collecting different nature experiences. His instinct to find and note different animals and plants began when he was a kid and was given a book on birds.
I remember for my 9th birthday, my parents bought me this book by Bruce Campbell, and it's Bruce Campbell's Guide to Birds in Colour, 256 different British birds, by the fabulous portrait artist Carl Argetingeland. Now, each page had two birds, and I would just play this fantasy bird-watching game. I'd make a hump under the duvet, because my parents were quite strict and sent me to bed early, and I took my torch or my flashlight into bed with me, and I'd play the fantasy bird-watching game.
Have you ever hidden under the covers with a flashlight at night? That's what Mike used to do while pretending to see all sorts of birds.
Black-tailed godwit, great grey shrike, Montague's harrier, Wilson's phalarope, all these beautiful birds I wanted to see. And I thought, I want to try and see every single species of bird in that book. And of course, the first place I started bird watching was my own back garden. I was identifying the difference in plumage between the males and females. I would also learn the calls and the songs of these birds. And then I went a little bit further afield, left my garden, and went to a local wetland where I started to see my first wildfowl, so ducks and waders. All manner of species you might not know, like shoveler and tufted duck and pochard. I saw my first peregrine falcon there, and snipe, and things like lapwing and redshank and curlew. So steadily I was seeing more and more birds in this book.
For many years, Mike's passion for birdwatching took him all over the country, and then all over the world. Whenever he saw a new bird, he tried to learn everything about it, and then share it with people around him. Eventually, some people thought that that made for pretty good television and started to film Mike talking about wildlife while he was working in the Andes Mountains in South America. At the time, he was studying birds in what's called a cloud forest, a forest that's so high up the trees are surrounded by clouds and fog.
I was interviewed at this reserve called Maki Pakuna, all about cloud forests, and it was the first time I'd ever met a TV crew. And it was a fantastic experience. I took them round the reserve and we filmed lovely shots of the kids and bromeliads, shots of the clouds sitting in the cloud forest. Then the time came to interview me. And the director said to me, "Mike, it's obvious you're into birds." And I was like, "Yeah, I like birds a lot, yeah." And he said, "When I say action, could you talk about the birds?" I said, "Yeah, sure, yeah, no problem." And he said, "Okay, Mike, yeah, turn over camera, clear for sound, action." There's an amazing bird called the toucan barbet. The male and female look the same. And it's like it's been painted by the great evolutionary painter who's got a bow on his head. It's a black crown, an ivory-coloured bill with a black tip, a ruby-red throat, an orange breast, a yellow belly, a blue rump, olive-green wings and a slate-black tail. And they do this duet. So the male and female are sitting next to each other on a branch. And the male looks at the female and nods. And the female looks at the male and nods. And the male goes, ha. Huh? The female goes, ha. Huh? And they go faster and faster. Ha, 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 ha. It's like an ambulance in the rainforest. So I did this impersonation. And the guy said, you've got to get on television with these impersonations. And with that one tape, I got work as a TV presenter. And I really haven't looked back since.
Working as a wildlife TV presenter suits Mike. He's able to tell people about amazing plants and animals all over the world while still spending time with his wife, Christina, and his son, Zachary. Everything was going well until the COVID-19 pandemic hit in 2020.
So there I am doing this amazing job where I film wildlife all over the UK and then go into the studio to talk about the wildlife as well. And then COVID pandemic hits and the filming just disappears completely. It was very strict in the UK. So I would take my boy Zachary and we'd walk all the roads, all the streets and all the footpaths near where I lived. We were only allowed out for an hour a day. But I would have the most amazing time walking with my boy. It was my mental health. It was my green gym. I need to see wildlife for my mental well-being. So that was my 1 hour to go and look at wildlife. And it was a green classroom for Zachary. I'd take him out and we'd be identifying the birds. But I know all the birds. So there's nothing to learn there. And so I started to look at the flowers at my feet. I knew some plants, of course. I knew daisies and dandelions and daffodils and all these common plants. But some of the more difficult plants that require a bit of knowledge, like the violets or the forget-me-nots, that there's quite a few species that are quite closely related. They look quite similar. You have to get down on your hands and knees and you need an eye lens to look at them, to magnify by 10 times their features, to look at these key little moments of stamens or filaments or hairs to identify the plant. And I suddenly found myself getting into this world of wonder, identifying all these plants.
Have you ever gotten down on your hands and knees to look at something with a magnifying glass? That's what Mike started doing. And as he began to identify the plants, Mike came up with the idea for a brand new collection. He wanted to see 1,000 plants in Great Britain in a year.
I try and see 1,000 different species of plant in 1 year. I've no idea if it's been done before. I've no idea if it's possible. Would I be able to find these plants? And would I be able to identify them? That was what I was worried about. So I did a huge amount of research work in 2020, trying to find where are the best places to go. And then reading botanical textbooks, how to identify grasses, sedges, rushes and ferns, all these slightly difficult groups. And also as well, I got a lot of help. So learning and with a lot of help, then I was on my way.
Mike was ready to begin his journey to find 1,000 plants. He knew that he could find many plants near his house. And for those adventures, he had the perfect team to help, his family.
I wanted to kind of include my family as being a key component of it. I mean, I am a family man first and foremost. And actually, they were a real asset. We called ourselves the Chewstoke, which is the village I live in, the Chewstoke Botanical Group. And I realised they were amazing. My wife is a gardener. She was brilliant on horticultural plants, better than me. My son, because he's very young, has amazing visual acuity. So he could spot the rare plants. And my dog, Bramble, our border collie, had this remarkable propensity to go to a nature reserve and urinate, as you say, on the most unusual plant in the whole nature reserve. So actually, working together, we were quite a powerful collective of botanists together. And Zachary would love it. I'd say, right, here's the picture of the plant I want to find, Zachary. Go and find it. And he'd be like a botanical bloodhound. He'd sniff it out. And he'd go, is this it? And I'd be like, yeah, well done you. So hopefully he'd find it. I'd identify it.
In addition to his family, Mike had help from professional botanists, or plant experts, as well.
They were so passionate and so keen to help and so happy to share their knowledge. And that, for me, was just astonishing. That I went out with these people and they were bending over backwards to help me, identifying plants, telling me where I could see things. They'd be on a phone going, yeah, you need to look a little bit further up that cliff to find that plant, Mike. They were just beautiful.
Some of the plants required more effort than others to find, and one of Mike's biggest adventures while finding 1,000 plants was climbing the mountain Culmore in Scotland in pursuit of a rare flower called the Snowdon Lily.
I love the rare ones, the beautiful ones, the ones that tell a story. And there's one species right on the top of three mountains in northwest Scotland that I was desperate to see. Accompanying me on my mission up Culmore was Dr. Barbara Jones, and she's an expert on Arctic alpine plants, particularly this one species called Snowdon Lily, which is only found in Britain in the Arctic alpine area of Snowdonia. And she's the world expert on this weird tiny little lily that lives on top of the rocks. So she knows uplands incredibly well. And she's an incredibly experienced mountaineer.
Even with an expert there to guide him, Mike had a lot of trouble on this journey. No one can control the weather or keep away the bugs. In this case, tiny mosquito-like insects called midges.
The weather was atrocious. It was completely fogged out. And of course, bear in mind, it's July, which is the flowering time of this plant, and there are midges everywhere, the infamous Scottish midges that chew you to bits for breakfast. So there we are, getting bitten by midges, getting rained on, in a fog, can't even see the mountain. I'm thinking, this is a disaster. There's no way we're going to be able to climb the mountain. But Barbara's an old hand at this, and she turned round to me and she said, do you know what? I think we'll be fine. I think there's going to be a temperature inversion. So a temperature inversion is where we walk through the cloud, and then with a bit of luck, as we get near to the top of the mountain, we'll just hop or jump or poke out of the cloud and we'll experience beautiful weather. Now, I wasn't convinced. I was thinking, I don't think so, Barbara. I think it's terrible. Let's come back tomorrow. She says, no. Go with me. Let's do it. Let's go for it.
So Mike and Barbara began hiking up the steep and rocky Culmore Trail, surrounded by fog and swarmed by bugs.
We can't see more than 10 metres in front of our nose. Eventually, we're climbing up and we get to this really steep part and I am sweating buckets. And Barbara's just ahead of me and she suddenly just disappears. She's gone. And then suddenly, I just popped out of the cloud. My head popped out. I looked around and it was all blue sky. Then my body, my legs, and about 10 metres in front of me, Barbara was just sitting, smiling on a rock. And she went, I told you so. So we'd conquered the weather. So we went to the summit and I knew the plant we were looking for was just off the northwest shoulder. And then Barbara does it again. I hear a chuckle of delight and we sink to our knees. And there it is.
They did it. They found the Snowdon Lily.
The flowers are what it's all about, and this little stem pops out of this green foliage, a slender stem, and a little yellow flowering head nods coquettishly in the breeze. To be honest, when I found it, I sunk to my knees, I looked at this beautiful flower, and a little tear came out of my eye. I was so excited, so relieved, and it was so beautiful. It was just going, here I am. I was waiting for you all the time. And it was just beautiful. And that is, in essence, is the addiction of finding anything rare, be it birds, mammals, or plants. You use your skill as a naturalist, and you look around and you use your field skills as a naturalist detective. And eventually it pays off. We found the plant, and it was number 779 on my list, but it was number one.
Over the course of 2021, Mike was able to successfully find 1,000 plants across Great Britain. It wasn't easy, but it was 100% worth it for him to experience all of these different types of wildlife.
People think that botany is just this gentle pursuit, skipping gaily through the meadow with a lens going, look at that lovely flower, look at that lovely flower. It can be anything but. Botany, I say, is hardcore. It's just amazing. Why aren't more people doing it? What's wrong with these people? Get into plants, it's amazing. Plants are a world of constant wonder.
Plants are a world of constant wonder, and they are just outside your door. Just like Mike, you can start your own collection of incredible plant finds.
In the natural
A quick word for you parents. This is Marcus Smith. I'm host of the Constant Wonder podcast, which is the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff that kids will love too, but you may be wanting more. We've got a whole episode devoted to Mike Dilger and his adventure searching for 1,000 plants. If you want to hear that complete original episode, look for Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts. The episode is called Getting Giddy in the Quiet World of Plants. We're certain you're going to love more than Mike Dilger's story alone, and Constant Wonder brings episode after episode in a quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small. Make room for wonder in your world by subscribing to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman Darrington, with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.